You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, make sure to check out the Locked On T-Wolves Twitter account, at Locked On T-Wolves, as well as my Twitter account, at CMLESKY. Also, make sure to give a subscribe and a couple of your ears and your time to the Locked On NBA podcast, always giving you content about the NBA as far as recent news, bringing on guests, talking about the broad scope of the league that you love to watch so much. Make sure to check it out. Today, we're going to be previewing the Milwaukee Bucks and the Timberwolves game. This is a perfect game to emphasize the speed at which the league is going in one direction. We'll get into all that and more, and we'll finish out with some predictions for this game, as well as the three things I learned from the NBA last night. Let's get into it. All right, so they're at home again. The Milwaukee Bucks are in town. This was a fantastic preseason game that reached far into the hundreds in score. Both teams going at, I believe the final score of that game off the top of my head was 143 to 130, 128, something like that in that range. Really high scoring is the bottom line. And both these teams are coming in and they are reaching a level of offense and reaching a level of space that we had been hoping for the Timberwolves, that a lot of teams were thinking was necessary for the Bucks to really fully utilize. Giannis Antetokounmpo, in a season where a lot of people are predicting he's going to make a run on the MVP award. And both these teams right now are kind of living up to the expectations in a couple different categories. I know a lot of teams want the Timberwolves to be a little better maybe headed into this game. But as far as what you were hoping for from the Timberwolves roster, from versatility to pace to spacing, they've hit those marks, and so have the Milwaukee Bucks. This is going to be a really fun game, and this the series that they are in was entertaining last year, and I think it's going to be super entertaining this year as well. And it starts earlier this season, and the Timberwolves get to host the first game. So let's get into it. What is so fun about this Bucks team? Well, they are the fourth highest scoring offense in the NBA. They're knocking down 119.5 points per game. That is fourth in the NBA, fourth, the Milwaukee Bucks. Now, they are 4-0. They have been playing exceptionally this year. They are shooting 46% from the field, and they're shooting 37% from three-point range. Here's the real stunner. 43-pointers attempted per game. 43-pointers attempted per game. That's insane. That's absolutely insane. This is a team last year that averaged 24.7 three-pointers per game in the regular season. They have made a huge jump. And I think if you take a look at their roster, you can kind of see why this is working, how they're 4-0, and why this is all setting up for a massive showdown between Giannis and Towns. So let's take a look at some of the numbers. They added, of course, Brooke Lopez. They drafted Dante DiVincenzo. Both those help. Brooke Lopez is shooting 7.3 three-point attempts per game, and DiVincenzo is throwing up 3.3 three-point attempts per game. I like, just on a quick aside, DJ Wilson was kind of the young guy on this squad last year, and now it's Dante DiVincenzo. I really like DiVincenzo more, and I really like the role he plays. He's just switchblade. He can kind of play anywhere. He can play a couple different positions on defense. He's willing to drive inside. He's willing to go to the basket. He's willing to play outside. He's willing to knock down three-point shots. He's doing a good job. He's averaging half a steal a game. He's creating turnovers. He's grabbing rebounds. He's helping out, assisting. I like that they can plug him in anywhere. And I think in kind of this positionless, we're all kind of trying to space the floor really well for Giannis to do his thing and to end the game. I think he fits in perfectly with that. And I think he gives a nice bit of juice to the second unit as well. If Giannis isn't out there and you've got guys crashing the board or you've just got guys streaking to the rim, I think that he is a nice piece there, and I think he plays alongside Bledsoe well. I really like DiVincenzo. I thought he was going to be a steal in this draft, and I think really if you take him outside of the top, what's the number that won't get me in trouble here? Outside the top 20, then he's a steal. But I just like his game a lot. I think it works really well with a lot of different teams. I think he could have been really good for Houston. I think he could have been really good on the Pelicans. I think he's a great fit for the Milwaukee Bucks. And I really liked him in college, and so it's nice to see somebody you enjoyed watching college and somebody you enjoyed the arc of their career as they head into the NBA. It's nice to see them land on a team where they can get properly utilized. So, anyways, back to the main point here, which is Brook Lopez taking a lot of threes. Eric Bledsoe taking more threes than last year, 6 attempts per game. Chris Middleton taking more threes, 7.8 attempts per game. I believe Bledsoe averaged 3 last year attempts per game. Chris Middleton was like 4. Let me pull the exact numbers here. Bledsoe was 4.9 last year. Chris Middleton was 5. So both of those guys taking a couple extra threes per game, really doing a good job spacing the floor. You have Jabari Parker, who is gone now. They couldn't really find a rhythm in that offense for him. You have Malcolm Brogdon getting more minutes, getting expanded. Really, you don't have to juggle as many things, which is kind of the problem you see for the Timberwolves right now. You have guys departed, and you've got guys who are fitting in better, syncing up better. Malcolm Brogdon, Chris Middleton, Giannis Antetokounmpo, those guys are the guys that need the big roles, especially, of course, Giannis, but now there's not that feeling that you need to get that top round pick and Parker try and wedge him into there. It just wasn't working. So I think it ended up being the best move for the Bucks to see him walk. But all these guys are doing a great job. They're really making a dedicated effort to spacing the floor. Obviously, a new coach in there helps. You've got continuity in the coaching staff. And so now you see a team that is making a dedicated effort to, all right, here are our strengths. Giannis is a strength. Giannis is really good. We've got a lot of long guys. We can protect the perimeter. We can go after teams, try and create turnovers. We got a lot of superb athletes. We can get stuff done in the fast break. We can force teams to play outside and then gash them inside. But we've got to start making more threes. We've got to start shooting more threes. And they actually now they take the third most three-point attempts in the NBA, behind only the Mavericks and the Houston Rockets. So you see all of that build towards, all right, why are we doing this? It's because we want Giannis to just destroy teams, drive into the basket. We want to give him a ton of space to work. We want it to, so that when he gets into an isolation matchup, we want him to just take that every single time he gets it and really wreck teams. And he is averaging 28.5 points per game, 47% shooting from the field. He is averaging 12 defensive rebounds, and 6.8 assists. He's got a steal per game. He has 1.8 blocks per game. He's putting up some monster numbers. And he's right there with Davis, I would say, right now, just as far as Davis is probably putting up a few more points. Giannis has a few more rebounds. And here's the thing, too, is that we're looking at both these teams. If you take away Antetokounmpo, if you take away Davis from both those teams, they're so critical to what these teams do to make them successful that these teams, they're both of them, I don't think, are playoff teams without their guy, which is another good case when you're looking at MVP, when you're looking at why these guys deserve to take home that trophy. And so they're setting up Giannis for the best possible route of success. But I think also they have done a good job of setting up guys around him with great success. And you've seen that because Giannis has done a good job passing. He's 6.8 assists per game. He's done a good job finding open guys. That's two more assists than last year. He's done a good job of using the space that his teammates are giving him so that when he doesn't need to score every time he's driving, every time he has the ball. When he does get that space and the defense sort of has to collapse off of the outside, he's finding guys. He's finding guys. He's passing around the ball. I think you're seeing here not only a maturity from the Bucks, what is possible when they have a functioning coaching staff, but you're also seeing a rise in maturity, which helps when you have a proper system in place. But maturity from Giannis, this is a very dangerous team. And how are you going to combat that if you're the Timberwolves? Not necessarily a stout defense, not a stout defense at all. They are taking more threes this year. They are shooting better from three this year. They do still have a really good offense this year. The Milwaukee is fourth. The Timberwolves, 10th in defense, or in points per game, excuse me, with 16.2 points, 116.2 points per game. They're no slouches themselves. So what needs to happen? Well, first of all, you have to keep up this pace. They're going to really hurt their length. Their length you're going to neutralize by getting out in front of their defense and getting out behind them, getting some buckets in transition. I think that's the key. That's going to be the key for the Timberwolves in a lot of games, I think, is an edge. They've got a lot of really great athletes. Derrick Rose still has that gear that he can hit. Josh Okogie, Andrew Wiggins. By the way, quick aside, Andrew Wiggins, questionable for today. There hasn't, at the time of this recording, there hasn't been any new news released on him. So he's still up in the air for the game tonight. I will say it is strange. When you think about it, Andrew Wiggins is really good in Canada. He really likes playing in front of his home fans in Canada. So for him to miss that game over an injury that they were saying going into the show on Wednesday, all the reports were, it seemed like it wasn't that big of a deal, and the reports were that he was going to be able to move past this pretty quickly, and then for him to miss that game, a little strange. Does it have anything to do with Butler? Not sure. We'll get to the news about Butler here at the end, but a little strange from Wiggins. So I'm not sure what to expect from him going into this game. I'm not sure if you should expect him to play or not. Whatever is going on, hopefully that gets resolved so they can have him back, because having him out there would be nice as far as pushing the pace and as far as just another great athlete. You see how they use Josh Okogie on the three-point line, and then when there's space to take advantage of, and give him that little pump fake and slip past the defense to get to the basket. That's stuff Andrew Wiggins could do, and I think having both of them out there would be nice. I think having a lineup with Okogie and Wiggins and Anthony Tolliver out there with maybe Derrick Rose and Towns, I would love to see that lineup. I think that lineup could give teams trouble. I think the lineup could give the Bucks trouble. But anyways, hopefully he can be out there for this game. So I think they need to push the pace. I think you need to see Towns be dominant inside. He hasn't really had a really full-bore Towns game yet, and I would love to see him just go full Towns on this team, just really take over on the inside and dominate this team. I think that he is levels above Brook Lopez, and I give Brook Lopez a lot of credit. He has molded and changed his game to fit in to new situations, new rosters, and the new NBA, and I give him all the credit in the world for doing that, but Towns is just a better player, better athlete, and he can own that matchup with Brook Lopez. And so you have to get inside. You have to really let Towns dominate. And him coming over being ferocious, like you saw a couple games ago, being ferocious, really attacking on defense, getting after guys like you saw him in the Pacers game with those blocks, helping on defense, playing over and knowing what spots to play over and what spots to stick to your man. That defensive IQ, you need that from him, because he's going to have to make a lot of plays in this game. He's going to have to help with Giannis. And that's another way that they get an edge. The last way is when you get so many shots, when you get that 30, mark, that 33 mark, like they did against the Pacers, or when you're knocking down shots, they were knocking down shots against Toronto. You, when you get a bunch of open looks, you have to knock them down, because the Bucks are going to capitalize on their opportunities. They're the fourth offense in points scored per game in the NBA. They're going to capitalize on their opportunities. You have to capitalize on yours. And so that's what the Timberwolves have to do. When you're getting a bunch of open looks, they have to knock them down. And that includes two-pointers. They did not shoot the two nearly as well as they shot the three against Toronto. That includes two-pointers. When you have an open field goal in that 18-foot range, you got to be able to knock that down as well. And it's going to be crucial to not be sloppy on any offensive possessions, really take advantage of every opportunity you have. That goes for every team, I guess, but it especially goes when you're going against one of the top five offenses in the NBA, like the Bucks have. So it's important to do those things. And I think this game, it really is a lovely highlight, too, in where the NBA is going. These are some of the teams that really were bogged down by the three-point line and three-point shooting a year ago. And you see already they're skyrocketing in numbers all across the board, and three-pointers attempted and made, three-point percentage. And so it is a fun game, not only because of who's playing in it, the star power in it, the offense in it, but also because you're seeing, look, this is kind of some of these guys, some of the coaches, Tibbs, these guys were the guys who were kind of the last stand as far as, no, we're going to stick to defense and we're going to grind out these games. And now even these teams are picking up the pace, picking up the three-point shooting. And this is where the NBA is going. And I don't know if I know that sports seem to be pretty a pretty common theme for sports, is that it's a circle where you have stuff really catching on, but then all of a sudden somebody goes the other way and reverts back to an old style to counterbalance it, and then all the teams slowly trend that way. But I don't know how much offense we're going to see before it starts trending a different way. It might keep climbing a little bit higher before it goes a different way here. And I'm here for all of it because I love basketball way too much. But it's going to be a fun game. All right, we're going to get to some predictions and we're going to talk about Jimmy Butler. But first, let's get to some sponsors. All right, so predictions for this game. It's hard because still no news on Wiggins as of right now. So because of that, I think Wiggins would actually be a pretty big piece in this game. He's been playing with a really high intensity to start the season, and so him staying out is a real bummer, especially if it's against this team where you could really use another high-level athlete against such a high-octane offense. I'm thinking that the Bucks edge out the Timberwolves 123-118. Another tight game, high-scoring game for both these teams. I think you see both these teams go on some pretty big runs, and you kind of the defense are just going to kind of have to hang on, and whichever defense can get just a couple more plays. I know that Jimmy Butler is leading the league. I believe he still is. I haven't checked since last night, but I don't think anybody went crazy enough stealing to take away the 3.8 steals per game average that Jimmy Butler is leading the league with right now. So I know that if you're thinking, oh, a couple key turnovers for one bad defense versus another, maybe Jimmy Butler can be enough for that. But I just feel like the length of the Bucks is going to mess with the Timberwolves at one of these quarters. It feels like it might be in the second quarter, or it just the Timberwolves have been getting out to slow starts. It feels like in the first or second quarter, there's going to be one of those stretches where they turn the ball over three or four times, and the Bucks make hay off of it, and that's where they kind of have to be playing behind the eight ball for the rest of the game, catching up after some mistakes. I think that you see Giannis. I think you see Giannis. I drop a triple-double in this game. I think that you see him early on quickly get to 20 points, and I think the rebounds, he's going to grab rebounds no matter what. And I think later on you see the defense overcompensating, collapsing from the Timberwolves, and then he ends up getting about 10 or 11 assists. I also think that Jimmy Butler drops another 30-point game, and I think that he comes out and he really plays with a vengeance. against this team, and with the prospect of a trade pretty close, maybe he's putting on a show. So 30 points from Jimmy Buckets, and I think you see another 20-point game from Derrick Rose as well. Those are the predictions for the Bucks game. Let's talk about Jimmy Butler quickly. So if you haven't seen, the Houston Rockets offered four first-round picks for Jimmy Butler. That's not a stutter. That's not a mistake. Four first-round picks. That's the maximum amount of picks that you can give out as a team, first-round picks that you can give out as a team. That's the most you can give. The most you can give that would be packaged over 7 years, according to the NBA rules. I mean, four first-round picks. I know now I see a bunch of people getting crazy about this. Yes, it is a big offer. You have to remember, this is the Rockets. They're not going to be lottery picks. They're not going to be crazy good picks for 4 years or for four drafts. They're not going to be crazy, crazy picks. So that is, I know that people are acting like this is the Brooklyn trade where Boston Celtics are getting lottery pick after lottery pick, but this isn't going to be quite the same as that. That said, if you're getting four first-round picks and you're getting even one player out of this, that seems like a deal that nobody else is really going to beat. I know that it might be more attractive if they could have gotten Josh Richardson and Bam Adebayo, but that deal fell apart with Miami. I think this is the deal you got to jump on. I think you got to pull the trigger on this deal. I think that I know that you have Towns and Wiggins for the long haul. You've got guys, Josh Okogie already seemed to be like he can develop and grow into a guy. And I think Kita Bates-Jop could be a really great role player off the bench. I really think that having these picks growing and developing a team around Towns and Wiggins, I think that's the best course of action. I also think that once you get Butler out of there, I think that maybe you see Wiggins not miss any games. He never misses games. I think you see Wiggins come back. If he can get this trade deal pushed the right way, I think you see Towns start to play better. I just think there's a funk over this locker room still. And I think that if you get this deal done, you're really doing a good job for the future. I think the team is still good for right now. And I think that you maybe alleviate some pressure still laying over the Timberwolves locker room. And I think that's what you got to do. All right, we are out of time. I'll do three things I learned from the NBA on Monday's show. I want to keep these shows pretty quick, though. Make sure that you're not getting too much of Colton Molesky every single day. Nobody wants that. It's no good for anybody. So I'm going to bid you guys adieu. Have a fantastic weekend. Enjoy the Milwaukee Bucks and Timberwolves game. Hopefully the Timberwolves prove me wrong and edge out a win. Thank you guys so much for listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.